You're listening to The Roadhouse here on WTIP. We're joined on the phone now by Joyce Sutphin. She is Minnesota's new poet laureate. She teaches literature and creative writing at Gustavus. Welcome, Joyce.
Hi.
Thank you for being
here.
Nice to be here by phone this evening. So the first question for you is, what the heck does a poet laureate do?
I like the what the heck. How was I chosen for this?
Well, I know it's an honor and it's a big deal, but what exactly is it?
Well, it's really mainly an honorary position, and I think whoever has that position can do whatever they want. I mean, as you may have read, there's no salary, there's no, you know, kind of support from anywhere, I mean, like a secretary or anything like that. And so what I've been doing is answering emails and cards and agreeing to, you know, come talk at a school or just anything that makes poetry more in the forefront, and just trying to be as gracious and good about that as I can. So I'm kind of learning as I go along, and I may have more to say about that later.
Right. You've been in the position about a month, right?
Yeah.
And did you know you were under consideration by Governor Dayton for the position?
Not really, no.
Wow. Well, tell us about that. What happened?
Well, I received a very nice phone call from a woman in the governor's office, Catherine Tanucci. But when I looked at the phone, this is true, I saw the state of Minnesota, and I was worried if I had a parking ticket or something.
I was a little like, tax problem.
Or one of my daughters, you know, I was just like, oh, what could that be? And then I was probably just as shocked, you know, to have her say that. And I think I did argue with her a little bit. No, how could that be me? There's so many other people in this state that are, you know, have been publishing longer and are, oh, I can give you 20 names right now. So, anyway.
Well, that's pretty great. Congratulations. So what is this, like a judgeship? Is this for life, or what's the length of your term?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably, you know, I don't know. I mean, Governor Dayton could choose another poet laureate next month if he felt like it. He probably doesn't want to go through all that again or whatever, you know. But it's at the discretion of the governor. And so I think somewhere someone put 4 years because that's as long as Robert Bly has been
right.
In the position.
He was the first one in Minnesota, correct?
Yes, the first official one.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it had to do with the change, you know, so the new governor and feeling that he wanted to make an appointment, and maybe that would happen again, so maybe I should be prepared.
So you mentioned, you know, answering cards and answering questions and so forth and helping promote poetry. I mean, what are your goals for the position? What has poetry done for you in your life that you want to share with other people?
Ooh, that's a pretty big question. My goals are to be, you know, to do as many of the requests that come to me as I can, to keep, you know, replying to people, to maybe think of, you know, some signature event or some kind of thing later on in the spring, or, you know, to do something like that. What has poetry done for me? Oh, you know, I didn't hear all of your interview with Breanne Morrison, but I mean, I think he's compelled to play music and play guitar, and poetry is the way that I really feel that I'm alive when I'm writing a poem or reading, memorizing, loving a poem, and so it's just one of those things that's really important to me. I don't expect that every single person will find poetry as that thing for them. They might have, you know, it might be music, it might be looking at paintings or painting. I mean, there's so many different ways, but I think that it's not a useless thing.
No, it is not. Well, would you, I know you've had quite a bit of poetry published, and we're wondering, would you read a poem or two for us?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I realized that when you're reading a poem and people don't have it in front of them, it's best to read something that you can kind of take in. And I thought of reading this poem partly because the kind of day it is, at least down here in Chaska and St. Peter before this, was really mellow and beautiful. And that was, what was it like up there?
It's been cloudy today, and I don't know, around 50 degrees maybe?
It's always mellow and beautiful.
That's true.
I know it is. I love it up there. Well, maybe we can talk about that in a second. But I'm going to read this poem called Bookmobile, and I just kind of remember those days when I used to wait for this thing called the Bookmobile to come, that those days, the way I have them in my memory is they're kind of golden leaves, and they're drifting down, and it's sunny, and it's mellow. So here's a poem called Bookmobile. I spent part of my childhood waiting for the Stearns County Bookmobile. When it comes to town, it makes a U-turn in front of the grade school and glides into its place under the elm. It is a natural wonder of late afternoon. I try to imagine Dante, William Faulkner, and Emily Dickinson traveling down a double-lane highway together, country western on the radio. Even when it arrives, I have to wait. The librarian is busy getting out the inky pad and the lined cards. I pace back and forth in the line, hungry for the fresh bread of the page, because I need something that will tell me what I am. I want to catch a book clear as a one-way ticket to Paris, to London, to anywhere.
Oh, that's lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
How old were you when you first started looking forward to the Bookmobile?
Oh, it's probably, in third grade. I can't remember exactly. It seems that it was always there, part of, the whole rhythm of things. And we didn't have a very big library in our school, so, it was a chance to look at some new books and choose from new books. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting.
So if you just joined us, we're speaking with Joyce Sutphin. She is the new Poet Laureate of Minnesota, and she lives in Chaska. And we're speaking with her by phone. She also teaches at Gustavus. Joyce, I know you write your own poetry, and you're an accomplished published poet, but what poets do you enjoy reading the most?
Oh, wow. I hadn't been asked that question so much in my life, and now I like so many different poets that it's just, I should make a little rhyme or litany or something. I mean, I love Shakespeare and Keats and Emily Dickinson and Yeats and Wordsworth and all kinds of, just Elizabeth Bishop and Robert Lowell, people that aren't on the planet. And then I love Louis Jenkins and Robert Bly and Connie Wanick and Tim Nolan and Sharon Schmielhars and all kinds of people, Patricia Kirkpatrick, people that I actually know, and I read their books, and my colleague at Gustavus, Phil Bryan, who has a fairly new book on jazz, and I was really thinking about that. I think the person that accompanies him went to the Berklee School of Music, the same one that Brianne was mentioning. Her name is Carolyn Wilkinson, now I've forgotten. And then lots of American contemporary poets, Linda Paston and Ted Kooser, and just so many. And then I love Irish poets, and I love the Polish poets, and I've been reading lots of poets in translation the last 10 years especially. And then I love songwriters. I'm a huge Dylan fan.
Well, he is a poet. It's just the music.
I know he is a poet, for sure. So, yeah, lots of them.
So, Joyce, what would you tell people who, you know, who might want to read and learn more about poetry, but who are new to it and don't know where to start?
Well, gosh, there are, you know, most people have computers now, I think, right? I mean, is that
right.
safe to say?
That's a fair assumption, or they can get at one.
Yeah. So there are so many really fine websites of poetry. Of course, the Writer's Almanac is really, on Minnesota Public Radio is a really nice one. I would say, you know, subscribe to that. It doesn't cost anything. Just have a poem come to you, or American Life and Poetry that Ted Cuther does, or Poetry Daily. There are just so many, and I would say that would be a good place to start, and then see who you like, and then you could find more poems on the computer through them, and then maybe you could go out and buy a slim volume of poetry that you'd like carry around with you, and you know, really make your own. But I think it starts by just sampling and scouting around.
Well, Joyce, could we, before we have to say goodbye, could we ask you to read one more poem?
Yeah, you know, we didn't get to talk about...
And I'd like to talk, about your Graham Murray connection.
Yeah.
Yes, this is great. Please, please share with our listeners.
My first trip to Grand Marais was with a friend whose name is Marilyn Tellis, and her grandparents were Charlie and Petra Boostrom, who were pioneers on the Gunflint. And she loved that place, Grand Marais and the Gunflint, so much. And so I was probably about 25 or so when I met Marilyn and went up there first time. And so for me, that's just a powerful place. And I was thinking about reading this poem that's in my first book, because it, you know, when I wrote it, I think I was thinking more abstractly or thinking about other people. But when I read it now, I think about Marilyn. So I'm going to read Living in the Body. Body is something you need in order to stay on this planet, and you only get one. And no matter which one you get, it will not be satisfactory. It will not be beautiful enough. It will not be fast enough. It will not keep on for days at a time, but will pull you down into a sleepy swamp and demand apples and coffee and chocolate cake. Body is the thing you have to carry from one day into the next. Always the same eyebrows over the same eyes, and the same skin when you look in the mirror, and the same creaky knee when you get up from the floor, and the same wrist under the watch band. The changes you can make are small and costly. Better to leave it as it is. Body is the thing you have to leave eventually. You know that because you have seen others do it, others who were once like you, living inside their pile of bones and flesh, smiling at you, loving you, leaning in the doorway, talking to you for hours. And then one day, they are gone. No forwarding address.
That's lovely. So you think of your friend Marilyn?
I do think of her, but I was thinking maybe a sad ending. I wrote this poem a while ago, and I think that's the interesting thing. You go back to an old poem, and even while I was reading it right now, I was almost revising it. and I can't tell you what the revision was, but I mean, I would have a more strong and hopeful ending to that. But you know, I do think of her so much, and think of her especially in connection to Grand Marais. So I just wanted to mention her name, and she's the painter who did a couple covers of my second book, which was called Coming Back to the Body. It's just a gorgeous cover, and the reissue of my first book, Straight Out of View, is actually a painting of some white times on the Gunflint along a road. It's really...
Well, we had Harriet Taus on this program a couple months ago talking about her parents.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, it was. She's wonderful. So, it was very fun.
Yeah.
Great to hear from her, and wonderful to hear that poem. That's lovely. Joyce, what else would you like to share with our listeners before we have to let you go?
You mean?
Anything? I mean, anything you want to say about being a poet laureate? Or?
Oh, I don't have too much to say about that. I don't know, just a poem, a single poem, like a poem that you really love, can be a wonderful thing to have. And I memorize a lot of poems, partly because I had a project, academic project, called Shakespeare and the Art of Memory, and I was writing about the old memory society and where people memorize more things. And so I wanted to try it out and see if I could do it. I don't have a very good memory, but I've memorized all these poems. It is kind of like a muscle. You build it up, and so I can do that pretty well, you know, better probably than I did when I first started. But the thing I want to say about that, or ask, or encourage people to do, is to maybe find a poem that they really love and think about putting it in their memory. It's really something we don't do very much these days, and it's really awesome. Feels great to have that. So you can use that poem when you're, just kind of in a nervous situation or something. You just kind of switch off and say the poem. And you know, it could be really small, little 8-line one, or it could be a sonnet length one, or you can build up, you know. But I don't know why I said that exactly, but maybe there's somebody out there that needs to hear that.
Well, I bet it would be very soothing to have a poem that you could call upon.
It is. It is. I call upon them all the time.
Do you do this a lot on your commute between Chaska and St. Peter?
I shouldn't admit it, but I do. And I am very careful. I just kind of steal a glance, you know, at the line. So if I'm looking and it's that time of year, thou mayest in me behold, and I kind of look over, and then I say that when yellow leaves, you know, so I just kind of build it up line by line, and then pretty soon I can just say it as I'm driving. And I love the radio. I'm a huge fan and listen to news and music and everything, but sometimes you just need to be quiet and, you know, and or just luxuriate in some language, and that's when I do that.
Oh, that's a great phrase, luxuriate in some language. I don't think we can improve upon that as an ending. So thank you so much for joining us this evening, Joyce. It was really delightful speaking with you, and best wishes in your new position.
Thank you.